thank you for tuning in today. We had a little catastrophe yesterday because my mixer died right before I started broadcasting. And the only way to know that it died is to start talking into the microphone, and all of a sudden, silence. So some people wish they could put a mute button on me sometime, but that was just ridiculous. So today I'm going to talk about some... Oh, by the way, my guest was here yesterday, and it was Herb Titus. He was standing by. We had a good talk before we got on the air, and he's going to come back tomorrow. So I've got him scheduled. I've got permission from his wife to have some of his time. So we're looking forward to having Herb Titus tomorrow. My number is, you can give me a call here at 833-4-MY-NEWS. That's toll-free, 833-4-MY-NEWS. So you can give me a call there. And again, I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is Preservative Talk Radio. I've had some good success of putting some of the shows that we've done up on our website at Preservative Talk Radio. And so you can go there, go to Preservative Talk Radio, and then you can click the link that says Recent Radio Shows. Otherwise, you're going to have access to some shows that I've done over the years. Depending on the topic that you're interested in, you can check that out. The other thing is there was a show I did a few weeks ago about the voluntariness of Social Security, and it was a two-part series. And you're going to have to go to David Allen Carmichael. That's David, A-L-A-N, Carmichael.com. And then click the links about, I guess it's called radio, something like that. And if you would like to get that particular topic, you're going to have to go to that, which is sort of one of my activism websites. So just to let you know what I do is I engage these issues on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. That's what I do. And again, we give a toll-free number. It's my fairness doctrine. Toll-free 833-4-MY-NEWS. And so today I'm going to bring up some updates about the things that happened here in Nashville. The activities from some Nashvillians that they've done here in Chattanooga. And the person in question is going to be Megan Berry. We're going to talk about some of the things she's done in Chattanooga, which is a very special thing. The other thing is there's some activity in Alabama, and there will be in Georgia and Tennessee soon. There's a lawsuit in Alabama because somebody is offended that the Department of Motor Vehicles in Alabama is not allowing them to change their identity on their driver's license without some proof. We're going to be talking about that. I'm going to talk about the provision of having executive agencies make laws without authority. And it's essentially that they're becoming codependent to a psychosis nationwide. So I'm bringing that up here so we can all think about this. Are we supposed to be codependent to a psychosis? It's a good question. I'm also going to quote a very high authority with regard to cross-dressing and things like that. We're going to talk, it's rough stuff, but it needs to be dealt with. This morning, I was actually playing guitar and doing a recording of something that many of you have heard years ago. And it was a song by Larry Norman. Too high.
Women were men and men were girls. Dementia was pandemic in the world. I wish we'd all been ready. Law was turned into lawlessness. Babes were killed before they took a breath. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. Just how could you have been so blind? There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. You've been left behind.
I know it's weird, but I'm a weird guy. I'm from Southern California. I do a lot of weird things. It's kind of genetic. So I try to work with it. I try to manage it. I try to exercise some self-control. But I just got to tell you, I'm from Southern California, and I think there's something in the water. What do they say? Somebody told me that I was in the Navy one day, and I had a chief petty officer come up to me one day, and he was mocking me. And I was kind of tired of getting mocked for being from Southern California. I was actually in Southern California in the Navy and mustering up one day. I can't even remember the chief's name, but he said, "Yeah, you're from California. I'm from Florida, the lands of fruits and nuts." And I said I was a nut. So that had implications there. So we're going to talk about some strange things today here on Preservative Talk Radio. One of the things that I said, I'm going to kind of give an update here on Megan Berry and her situation. This is reported by CBS News in Nashville. She said, it says there that they're finding out, and what's happened on News Channel 5, that's a CBS News affiliate, News Channel 5's website, they've actually posted a list of the activities that Megan Berry had where she was traveling with Mr. Sergeant Robert Forrest when they went to various places. And there's a link there that you can download the list of the places they went and how much money was spent. So in the comments that I heard off News Channel 5's report, said her first out-of-state trip with Forrest, as well as other city officials, was to Minneapolis in 2016. And I did some other homework. Look at this. This is the Tennessean reports. In her first 9 months in office, Berry, a Democrat, took 9 out-of-town business trips, according to travel records. On 6 trips, she went by herself or with other city employees who were not police officers. On 3 trips during that time period, she traveled with other city employees and security, twice with Forrest. The first travel with, listen this, this is interesting, and we need to pray over Chattanooga and the land. The first travel with only Berry and Forrest was a Chattanooga trip from June 30th to July 1st, 2016, says the Tennessean. So I hope they didn't consummate their relationship in Chattanooga. Because that spoils the land. According to our CBS News affiliate in Channel 5 in Nashville, said her first out-of-state trip with Forrest was Minneapolis in 2016. But in 2017, for the first time, Berry and Forrest started traveling alone together when they took 9 trips. Check this one out. How would you like to do this? I have not yet taken my wife on a decent honeymoon. The trip was including Athens, Greece, and Paris, France. It turns out the time he spent with Mayor Berry made him the second. This is Sergeant Robert Forrest. Mayor Berry made him the second highest paid person in the Metro Police Department. In fiscal year 2017, Chief Steve Anderson made the most, earning $209,806. According to Metro government records, Forrest was second with overtime. With his overtime, he got paid $158,527. That was more than the head of internal affairs, who earned $149,377, and the 3 deputy chiefs. They each made $147,481. So this overtime rendezvous pay made him the second highest paid person in the department. Now, what this is not listing is per diem. What about travel expenses? That doesn't include, it's not counted as pay. And what about hotel fare and meals and incidentals, little tips, having people come to the room and bring you things? Those kind of things fall under a per diem kind of thing when you're on special travel and are not included as pay. They're not taxable. So there's 2 things we're going to be talking about today, and these are out-of-town things, so to speak, but we've got to watch out that this might be coming here. And one of the concerns I had when I looked at Nashville as an example is there's these interesting things called land trusts, and what they're doing for good causes, they're making funds available to people to fix up older neighborhoods and make it livable, which is really good. Let me tell you, that's extremely lucrative. And when you start to see this private-public partnership kind of thing and federal funding for certain things and people who are well in and very influential that don't have an understanding of right and wrong, if you have people in those situations, it might occur to them that, hey, this is a good deal. We're going to make the locale prosper. We're going to fix up the neighborhood. It's going to stimulate the economy. And I can also simultaneously get gratified in my, let's say, personal income motives. So when you see somebody who does not have a particular understanding of appropriate boundaries, of appropriate right and wrong, and they start to get in positions of influence and power, a lot of Hades can break loose. That's just my concern, and I'm bringing it up here for our audience because this dementia that's in Nashville may creep in this direction. It'll head down, you know, Interstate 24 at 70 miles an hour and sweep the land. And we've got to put a barrier up in our listening, in this Nuga listening audience. That's my motive of talking about this. And we've got to be careful to also scrutinize the folks who are given great responsibility, great power, and a great ministry of God in our area, to when they start to do things that are really good cause but may have the potential of having a conflict of interest. It's critically important for us. It really is to look at it, to scrutinize it, and to not feel like, oh, I don't want them to feel like I'm insulting them by checking on them. No, it's called accountability. Tune in, check in, you know? What I have to do is often as I check into a pastor locally, and we have a new pastor coming to my church, so I'm on schedule here to check in with him, but I deliberately check in with people to let them know what I'm doing, especially when I'm doing some crazy stuff and I have a little unilateral discretion, is to try to let people know what I'm doing, give them an opportunity to check on me. Now, sometimes I've had people check on me and they've come up some really weird, strange things, and I wonder where they get it. But when they come up with strange things, I hold them accountable to bring it up to other people and see if what they think is sound. And if not, those other people can clue them in. So the other thing I want to say is something that's happening in Alabama that's in the news. And again, this is the concern. It's coming here. It's coming here to our Nuga listening audience. It's affecting a significant number of people in our Nuga audience. And so let me see what's going on. Name change. Here we go. We've got a name change issue going on in Alabama. Montgomery, Alabama, the Associated Press reports, three transgender individuals filed a lawsuit Tuesday against Alabama, saying the state will allow them to change the gender listing of their driver's licenses without proof they've undergone surgery. This is coming to an insane zone near us. And it sounds like I'm being a little bit harsh. I am. There's a point where we as a people need to make sure that we are not codependent to a psychosis. That's what's going on. I'll give you an example. Somebody in my church is a young man, and he's having issues. And I know he's been, his life has not been, let's say, happy. There's been some difficulties in his life. And so it's affected him. It's discouraged him. It's confused him. And he wants to be a girl. Well, that's some deep issues that need to be dealt with. Are we going to, let's say, as a body, as an organization, not deal with it, not correct it? If somebody comes into your body and they come in drunk, they come into Sunday morning service and they come in drunk, you don't just say, oh, bless their heart, look, they're having alcohol issues. No, you pick them up. You say, come on, we're not allowing you as a member, especially if you have membership. We're not going to allow you to disrupt the service because you've come in and you're dishonoring 300 people here. We need you to step out. We're going to go talk about this. We'll talk about this issue and try to deliver you from your addiction. And it's addiction. And we'll talk to you about that. We'll do what we can to support you, but we're not going to enable you, and we're not going to become codependent to this addiction. So in this same situation, it was addressed by a pastor and another leader that we understand what you're going through. We love you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to try to help you, but we're not going to enable you. You're not going to come and disrupt this event as a man coming in as a woman. It violates the scripture that we're teaching, and you're coming in here as a deliberate, bold demonstration That's completely contrary to what we are celebrating here today. This is not a free speech zone. And so you say, well, that's harsh. That's unloving. No, that's trying to make sure that we're not becoming codependent to a psychosis. And if you have a different opinion, 833-4-MY-NEWS. Why does this sound short? You know, normally people like to listen to me because I'm so unharsh compared to most talk radio people or whatever. It sounds very harsh. You know what? There's a time for it, folks. There's a time to stand up and get a little reality check, a little sanity, a little, let's see, parental supervision on a broad scale. And so it sounds a little bit harsh. What I'm going to do is I'm going to come back to the authority that I'm relying on. But let me tell you what's going on in Alabama. And I'm going to also today, I'm going to read the policies in Tennessee and Georgia with regard to name change, gender identity change designation, and driver's licenses in the three states. Here, this article from the Associated Press says the American Civil Liberties Union, which is representing the plaintiff, said the requirement to show proof of sex-altering surgery is an unconstitutional violation of privacy, free speech, and a person's ability to make their own medical decisions. Well, I just tell you, I agree with that. Asking them to prove that there's certain structures on their body have changed, that means you're requiring them to change structures on their body because of their psychosis. Okay, let's just keep in mind it's a psychosis. And it's not really a gender change. Okay, there's XY chromosomes. That's a thing of nature. There's nothing you can change about that. So mandating that somebody, let's say, damage their body, it's the other constitutional right to not cut things off. To say to them, now this is going to seem strange to some of you, but to say to them, we will only give you a driver's license and let you identify with something if you cut body parts off. I don't think they realize that that's actually exceeding their authority. Now, how they deal with this gender thing in the driver's license and the psychosis, that's another matter. But to require somebody to cut body parts off in order to get a driver's license is probably just a little bit beyond their authority. Okay, here we go. Let's see what we said. Let's see what Gabriel Arkell, senior staff attorney with the ACLU, said. He said, many transgender people cannot afford the surgery or don't want it. Okay, duh. It's outrageous to make an accurate, usable driver's license depend on having had a sort of health care that has nothing to do with one's ability to drive. At the end of the day, transgender people are who we say we are, regardless of what health care we have had. Now, what's going to happen? The states right now, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, are succumbing to the pandemic of dementia. They're becoming codependent to the psychosis. You're going to see when we come back after some great advertisements that we're going to need to know about, we're going to find out what the policy of Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, of those driving license agencies. And it did not come from statute. The legislature that makes laws and gives guidance and gives boundaries to these agencies, the legislatures have not taken action on this matter. The state itself has not entered a state of codependency with the psychosis. It's happening in these departments who are basically scrambling and becoming codependent outside the powers that they've been given. So there's where our problem lies. The lawsuit claims Alabama has a policy that gender on a driver's license can be changed only due to gender reassignment surgery. Notice that's a policy. That's not a law. And requires applicants to submit an amended state certified birth certificate and or letter from the physician that performed the reassignment procedure. So we're seeing the cascade of codependency to a psychosis here. Amended birth certificate? What were their XY chromosomes when they were born? Can you change that? Is the birth certificate legit? That really just makes birth certificates completely fraudulent. Now, here's something that Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee refuse to do. If somebody says that you have assigned a Social Security number and my name to a Social Security record against my will, notwithstanding it being voluntary, you will not allow me to have a driver's license unless I embrace that unique number as an element of my identity, notwithstanding, let's say, for instance, prohibitions of religion. We're going to come back and hopefully get some sanity into this discussion. Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here again with Preservative Talk Radio. And I'm talking about a little bit of trying to make sure that our society does not make us codependent to a psychosis. The issue with a driver's license in the DMV, what is the driver's license identification? What is that for? It's so that police officers, when they're investigating somebody and they pull somebody over, they want to know that this is the same person. They're going to have a photograph that's going to be descriptive. It's going to look like the person. And the goal is when you get a photograph that you're actually dressed sort of the way you dress. You know, be like you are. You don't put on a monkey suit or something. You don't put on a King Kong mask and then get your picture taken. The object is to identify you. Now, whether or not you want to be identified, let's say, as a man or a woman, what if you are not identifiable as a man or a woman? What if you dress in a dress, which is, let's just say, you don't have to wear a dress to be a woman, right? There's no particular package that you've got to conform to in your dress or your art or your jewelry to be a woman. That's completely arbitrary. But let's just say that you have a tendency to dress in what would communicate stereotypical in our culture, woman. That's what you're trying to communicate. You are identifying as a female. You know, there's male and there's female. Look at these old terms we used to use that for thousands of years. Husband, wife, male, female. So you're trying to communicate female and you happen to have an X chromosome. Or I'm sorry, Y chromosome. You've got, instead of two X chromosomes, you got XY chromosome. So you're not female. You are male genetically. Let's say you've got body parts. Let's say you've communicated, you've stuffed some stuff into your chest to make your chest look like a person who's designed to be able to nurse babies. Let's say you're, to make it look like you're female and you've got this stuff, or you're wearing something to make it look that way, but you've got other body parts that would be useful for not for bearing children, but for planting seed in a children bearer, right? So let's say you're all that's going on for the police officer. What they're going to want to know is, okay, there's this person, what they look like. This is their height, their weight, generally, their color, their hair, generally, you know, that. Notice they have the color of the hair. You know, you can change your hair all you want. You can make it look blonde, right? But what are the roots? I don't know. I guess you can put blonde if they're blonde, and brown if it's brown. I don't know. But the point is, what you're supposed to be communicating to the police officer is what to expect. When they go to frisk you, who is it they're going to get to do the job, right? When they frisk you, what are they going to find? I think that would be what the agency that's want to issue a driver's license is going to want to have somewhere in there. And it could be public. It could be private. Does it have to have on there whether you're a woman or a man? You could just have your name and your picture. There's nothing that has to be there, except there's got to be something that communicates to somebody who's verifying this driver's license of who you are. Okay. Of what it is they're encountering. That's the logic behind it. That is the logic behind it. Whether or not you should be having a driver's license, I guess people would like to talk about that. I mean, if you get, watch this, private pilot certificate, there's no photo. You just have a certificate with your name on it. And it says that you are certified to, under whatever regulations, FAA regulations. You can fly an airplane with a certain number of passengers, unless you're doing it up for a mission. You're actually under the church jurisdiction. There's a whole bunch of things you could do that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to do under FAA regulations, blah, 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 blah. No photo required. In fact, it's not a license. It's a certification. So your insurance company might insure your airplane. But, you know, it's possible you don't need the certification if you're flying for an ecclesiastical jurisdiction. There's a whole bunch of things that come in there, but there's no license and you can fly an airplane. It's not a license. So some people argue about that. driving ought to be a certification for this, you know, get certified and somebody will insure you. Otherwise, you got to find some other way to show financial, you know, safety that you can crash into somebody and make sure you take care of them. Let's see what the Tennessee, no, not the Tennessee. We're going to read what the Alabama, because this is where the lawsuit is in Alabama. This is the policy with regard to driver's license identity in Alabama. In Alabama, in order to update name and gender on an Alabama ID, the applicant must first change their name with the Social Security Administration. Okay, now what if, you know what, just changing your name with the Social Security Administration is almost kind of crazy. What if you can't do it, though? And what if you, because of religion, don't participate in Social Security? There's another issue. So it says you must first change your name with the Social Security Administration. So your name change somehow in Alabama has no longer been like a either civil or common law function, but it's now a benefit of Social Security. So the court order for a name change and documentation signed by a surgeon verifying that the applicant has completed gender reassignment surgery. So is that the requirement that you must change your body parts to have your descriptive identification on your driver's license changed? Now, again, I think, and again, this is not a law. This is not a law. This is an executive agency making things up as they go. So there's a lot of things that were codependent to psychosis here. One is the fact that we've lost reality check on what the government's supposed to be doing and how these powers actually apply. And it is completely arbitrary. I know people in Alabama who have tried to change their driver's license or get a driver's license, notwithstanding that they object religiously to identifying with a Social Security number that they had never applied for, that somebody stuck it on their name against their will. And nonetheless, Alabama just sticks in their heels and they say Section 666 of the Federal Welfare Code requires that we make everybody identify with an SSN or they're not going to get a driver's license. So they're using that power of coercion to get somebody to identify with something that is against either their religion or, watch this, if it's voluntary under law, what are they doing using this don't drive an automobile without going to jail mechanism to force somebody to embrace an identity that is completely manufactured by man? And what's really crazy about that, with an SSN, that is a arbitrary fake ID created by an arbitrary third-party SSA that is outside the power of Alabama to influence on how you make a contract with this man-made agency. Yet they're going to do backflips and become codependent to a psychosis with something that goes against the very nature of a man or woman. So that just shows you that we've got a problem. It's codependent to a psychosis and rejecting law, abandoning law, abandoning the function of government, abandoning right, abandoning wrong, abandoning absolutes, abandoning the law of nature, codependent to a psychosis. Okay, now watch this. Alabama's birth certificate laws. Alabama will amend the gender marker on a birth certificate upon receipt of a certified copy of an order of a court of competent jurisdiction indicating that. Now watch this. At this point, they should just put a period. If they're going to change, if a court orders you to change it, you do it, or else you get thrown in jail for contempt, right? Civil contempt, they leave you there for 50 years unless you change, do your paperwork according to the court order, whatever. That's another interesting discussion. But so Alabama will amend the gender marker on a birth certificate on a receipt of a certified copy of an order of a court of competent jurisdiction. Now here they make up a law themselves. This is I guess this is Alabama code here, indicating that the sex has been changed by surgical procedure and that the name of the individual has been changed. Again, here's these statutes defining somebody's having surgery. I think they've, one thing, they've abandoned law. This is outside the authority of the legislature. You can't do a natural wrong. You cannot legislate a wrong. You cannot legislate something that violates nature. It's completely arbitrary. Alabama should have just left themselves the legislature should have just left it alone. Do not become codependent to a psychosis. But here in Alabama, they say, if the sex has been changed by a surgical procedure and the name of the individual is changed, an amended birth certificate is issued and the original birth certificate is not sealed. Well, that's good. At least they can look back and see that this is completely fraudulent. Thank you, Alabama. This Alabama code 22-9A-19. And 22-9A-21. Now I'm going to go to, just so you know what you're listening to, this is David Alan Carmichael, Preservative Talk Radio. And I'm going to engage these issues on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. Here's Georgia license policy and procedures. In order to update the name on a Georgia ID, applicant must first change their name with the Social Security Administration. There we have it again. Driving a car is a benefit of Social Security in a agency that is codependent to psychosis. Then submit a court order certifying the name change to driver services. Applicants must change the name on their Georgia ID within 60 days of legal name change. In order to update the gender marker on a Georgia ID, the applicant must submit either a court order or physician's letter certifying the gender change. The letter or court order shall state the person's name, date of birth, date of gender, reassignment, operation, and other identifying information. Now, see here, they depart from reality. If they were going to go ahead and say, listen, we will graciously be codependent to a psychosis, all they should say right here is the applicant must submit either to a court order or a physician's letter certifying the gender change. Physician could be a psychiatrist. And you could say, hey, just want to let you know, state of Georgia, this my patient has a psychosis. This man thinks they're a woman. And they will freak out. They will not be able to operate properly unless they identify themselves as a woman. That's all you need the court order to say and have a psychiatrist that's checked this and verified it. You might want to also say if they have a tendency to attack people, have notwithstanding their body parts or their psychosis of what gender they'd like to be, but they also may have a predisposition to be doing things sexually to either, I don't know. They might be a sex offender. You make sure that that's known and put on the driver's license or whatever. Okay. But here's where they say letter court order shall state the person's name, date of birth, date of gender reassignment operation. Well, now the state is trying to manage this person's psychosis. Okay. So I'm stepping out of this. I don't have this issue. I'm actually against the legislator getting involved in this stuff. But since they're getting involved, to tell somebody they got to cut off body parts, it's just, again, it's the pandemic of dementia. When they enter in becoming codependent to the psychosis, they're not going to legislate in anything in reality. If the whole legislation is void, it goes against the very laws of nature. Now let's look at real quick Georgia birth certificate laws. Georgia will amend the sex on a birth certificate upon receipt of a certified copy of a court order indicating the sex of an individual born in the state has been changed by surgical procedure. Again, they're managing the psychosis with legislation. And that such individual's name has been changed. Georgia Code 31-10-23E. Such birth certificates will be issued as new and not marked as amended. Ooh, not marked as amended. So it doesn't matter what their genetic makeup is. And they don't say what surgical procedure. If it's a guy's, there are certain things you could leave intact and just add some stuffing up on the top portion of the body. See, you can have this could be really creative here, Georgia, and you're going to change the birth certificate and it'll be a complete fraud. It goes totally opposite of the nature, the genetic makeup and potential body parts of the person. Georgia is now codependent to a psychosis. Now, these are harsh statements. These are let's say for some, the statements I'm making are difficult. This is important. This is dangerous. It's dangerous to succumb to the psychosis, to becoming dependent to a psychosis. Nuga Radio Land, man up, as they used to say. Need to man up. Need to get, a sound mind and not lose your ability to understand what is right and what is wrong. Tennessee driver's license policy and procedures. In order to update a Tennessee ID, the applicant must submit If updating the name, a court order certifying the name change. Well, that's great. That's simple. That's old school. If updating the gender marker, uh-oh, they've succumbed to the pandemic of dementia. Now, this isn't the legislature here. This is the motor vehicles, the Tennessee Department of Safety. This is their internal legislation outside that the powers or authority given them by the Constitution. If updating the gender marker, a statement from the attending physician that necessary medical procedures to accomplish the change in gender are complete, or a court order recognizing the gender change. Now, at least Tennessee, carefully leaning into becoming codependent to the psychosis, has said a court order can recognize the gender change. If some judge orders you to do it, they'll do it. That's all they had to say. If we're ordered to do it, we'll do it. At that point, you're putting on somebody else's shoulders. So at least there's some hint of sanity remaining in the Tennessee Department of Safety's rules. So Tennessee birth certificate laws. Tennessee specifically prohibits amending sex on a birth certificate. Whoa, that looks like they've been inoculated to the pandemic of dementia. The sex of an individual will not be changed on the original certificate of birth as a result of sex change surgery. Tennessee Code annotated 68-3-203, subparagraph delta. So, what is this all about? This is danger, 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 Nuga Radio land. It's insane what's coming your way. It's just absolutely insane. Here I'm going to go to a higher authority. Here we go. Oh, by the way, I'll quote this on another day, but I'll get back to that. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. That's what Moses thought. What a knucklehead. Is he a knucklehead? Moshe. Leviticus 18:22. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. Therefore, God. Now, here's something in Paul said. This is Apostle Paul. Is Apostle Paul a knucklehead? Because listen to this profound statement. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. When your identity is wrapped around your sexual gratification, there's a point there where I think you've allowed your depravity to influence your mind. For this reason, God, they gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. But with Obamacare, some of that's taken care of. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Do not become codependent to a psychosis. This is a consequence that is, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So those are, that's religious take. There's some experts in right and wrong have said that. Now, the key thing here is, this is something, it's okay to think rightly. I'm going to set you free, Nuga Radio Land. It's appropriate. It's important, dads, to think rightly and teach your children to think rightly. That's what the critical thing is here.